Blog Talk Radio.
Where do you go when you want information about angels and ghosts? The world of the unexplained and paranormal are just a few things that you will learn about when you visit www.angelsghosts.com. View the world of ghosts and angels by examining the evidence for yourself. For your own personal angel study or ghost hunt, they have included links to the ghost webcams, ghost hunting tours, paranormal clubs, ghost hunters, and paranormal investigators. Enjoy your research of the spirit world and the afterlife, filled with literally thousands of photos, stories, videos, EVPs, and more. You know you can trust angels and ghosts with author L.C. Duplat. Whether you are looking for research material or are just curious about the spirit world, visit www.angelsghosts.com. Don't forget to visit the forum at www.angelsghostsforum.com and meet many other paranormal investigators. Conduct your own research and experiments, or just have fun talking with others who do. www.angelsghostsforum.com, the forum for all paranormal people. Angels and ghosts, there is more than just a graveyard awaiting for us when we die. The Veil, exploring the paranormal and unexplained, and reporting it to our listeners, it's the Paranormal News Network with your host, D. Eldon Bailey, independent ghost hunter and paranormal investigator. We're taking your calls at area code 646-652-4604. And now, Paranormal News.
Welcome one and all to another exciting episode of the Paranormal News Network. I'm your host, D. Eldon Bailey. And tonight we have a special guest once again welcoming back L.C. Duplat of the Angels and Ghosts website. That URL again is www.angelsghosts.com. And tonight we're going to be discussing a little bit about communication with the dead, old technologies versus new technologies. How you doing, L.C.?
Pretty good. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for showing up on the show again. You know, we were going to have Ross Allison from Ego show up tonight as well, but I wasn't able to get a hold of him, and I think he might have forgotten. So it's possible he won't show up, but it's possible he may. If he does, we'll certainly get him on the air as well.
Sounds great.
So how have you been?
Well, pretty good. I'm back here in the Northeast. You know, we got blanketed with a bunch of snow out here, so living in Northeast Ohio, we probably got dumped close to 12 inches. How about you? What's your weather like?
Well, it's kind of a blustery day here in the Great Pacific Northwest in Tacoma, Washington. Just a few weeks ago, we had a whole bunch of snow. It was about a month ago. We had, we must have had 12 inches of snow in a matter of 6 hours.
Is that right?
Roughly. You know, you guys are getting, I think, the last report I heard was 7 inches per hour, and I just can't imagine that. That's just insane.
Yeah, well, it's over now. We've all shoveled out, and we're ready to go here. We're back on the streets, and we're moving around. So anxious to talk tonight about the ghosts and the ghosty things.
yeah, no doubt. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about communication with the dead, as I mentioned. I'd like to start off by saying, you know, ever since the dawn of time, ever since mankind began, we had this interest in the spirit world. always trying to communicate with the other side, whether it be communicating with God or with other spirits or entities, all the way back beyond ancient Egypt, in fact. And I just find this a fascinating subject. The reason why is because, well, I don't really know why I'm so interested in it, to be honest with you. It's just, it's one of those things where it's an unknown. So if it's an unknown, we're curious about it, and we just want to find out more about it. You know, I've had some experiences myself in my life where I could swear I've been communicated with from the other side, whether it be in dreams or just a feeling, the chill up the spine. Even in my religious experiences, having that unctioning, that knowing that something is being said to me. Can you speak to that at all?
Well, sure. And this will kind of pick up maybe off of where we spoke last time a couple weeks ago, but I would tell you or share with your audience that a lot of the thoughts and ideas that we have, oftentimes we brush them off as either just a crazy thought, or maybe we'll even consider them to be our own thoughts. But I've come to realize that I believe a lot of the thoughts and ideas that we have, those thoughts and ideas where you say to yourself, where did that come from? I believe are forms of communication from the other side. To me, they're thoughts. They're sometimes ways to guide us or get our attention. I think a lot of people have a misconception that if you hear a ghost, it's going to be some type of audible sound, or if you hear a spirit, an angel, et cetera, it's going to be some type of audible sound. And that's not to say that that does not happen or cannot happen, but I think often, more times than not, the communication from the other side is happening around us all the time, and we're just not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's often been described that ghosts give you the goosebumps, the chill bumps, et cetera. And I think that when communication from the other side does happen and we have that hair standing up on the other end, or standing up on our arms and neck is what I'm trying to say, I think that you know, that may be an indicator of a ghostly presence that is trying to get our attention.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a thing called a God wink. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I haven't.
My brother actually called my attention to this one time. I had never heard of a God wink either. You know, that's just one of the little slang things that, you know, come about trying to describe experiences regarding communication from the other side that we just can't explain, so we just put it in a little box and call it a God wink. A God wink is what it's one of those things where you look where something has happened and you think, wait a minute, what just happened? And I'll give an example. My brother, well, let me go back a little bit farther. I have a step-grandmother who's still alive right now, but my step-grandfather died several years ago of lung cancer. And he was an avid golfer, and he always hung out at the Elks Club, and that's wherever, if he wasn't at home, you couldn't find him, he was at the Elks Club, and he was golfing at the club there.
Mm-hmm.
My brother happened to be called to a service call on he works for a major alarm company, and he went on a service call to the Elks Club, and when he was there in the club, he noticed two men talking with each other about another man that was pictured in a photo that was hanging on the wall, and he heard the word, well, I'm just going to say Ernie C. I'm not going to go any further than that. And my brother kind of perked up, and he says, now, wait a minute. Is he talking about my step-grandfather? So he walked up to him and says, excuse me, my name's Dennis, and did you just mention Ernie? And they said, yes, oh, yes, Ernie's a great guy. We miss him, you know. We were just talking about him. And he says, yeah, that's why I came up to you to ask you about that. It's kind of strange that that you mention him because I'm his grandson, his step-grandson. And they just kind of looked at each other and looked at him, and they all kind of looked at each other and said, whoa, that's kind of strange. It's kind of an odd thing that he went up there just to perform a service call, and it just so happens that two other guys were talking about him, about his photograph that was hanging on the wall, and my brother just happened to be there. That would be considered a God wink. Another one was during Christmas, this last Christmas, excuse me, I'm sorry, during this last Christmas, my stepsister and her family came up to visit our family, and she told my stepfather that she said, Daddy, I had a dream about a month ago, and in the dream I saw Papa, and he was standing there smiling at me, and he was standing in the middle of a grassy field, and in that grassy field was an old car, and he walked up closer to her, and he said, so that you know that this is real, and so that you know that I was here, I want you to go to your father and tell him one word, and he'll know what it means, and this will be your proof that this was real. And that's kind of strange. It's kind of like an intelligent conversation in your dream. That's, you know, most dreams are kind of broken up and skip around and things like this, but this was very direct. And he said, the word is bow and arrow. Actually, it's three words. And then the dream ended. And she told her father this, and he says, oh, yeah, I could tell you about that. When I was a kid, I always wanted a bow and arrow, and I finally got one. Well, there was this kid that kept coming around all the time, and I used to go play with them and stuff, and we'd go out in this field, this big grassy field, and play with the bow and arrow. There was an old car in the middle of the field, and we used to shoot arrows at it, and that blew her away. How could she know this? She didn't know this. That was a God wink or communication from the other side. And I truly believe she was communicated with by my step-grandfather.
Most definitely. It's interesting you bring up dreams, because I think that when those on the other side are trying to reach us, I think that there are a lot of things that can happen. I mean, if you were to look at... most paranormal investigators that understand ghosts and what's taking place will tell you that they believe most of them just want to be recognized. And so some of your, you know, outward signs, such as thoughts about them, objects maybe missing or having been moved within the home, strange coincidences, symbols, smells, sensing presences within the house, different things, phone calls from the dead. If those things do not get our attention, I believe that the dream state is an obvious way for them to try to communicate, to reach us when we may be more open. Mm-hmm. And you know, that time right before you go into sleep.
The hypnagogue.
Yes, a great time where the mind starts to settle. And, you know, when you think about it, you're interacting all day long, and everything that you're doing is outwardly. It's interacting with this physical environment. Your left brain is strongly connected with that, and tasks and getting things done, and you know, you start to relax then at the end of the day and go into sleep, and that left brain shuts down, and the left brain is very much a dominant over, for most people, it's not 100%, but for most people, dominant over the right brain, the creative, the emotional side of the brain, and that brain, that right brain, I believe, is in contact more easily reached by the spirit realm. And I think that in that dream state, it's just kind of been my idea or theory that perhaps that's, you know, if you think about a day, you know, you're sleeping X amount of hours, and then you're awake during the day X amount of hours, and you're asleep. I'm wondering if one side is primarily functioning, you know, one side of the brain is primarily functioning during the day, and then the other side is at night is primarily functioning within the spirit realm. And what a perfect time to bring a message, perhaps when they can get through, when that dominant side of the brain has relinquished control, and now you're able to hear.
And not only that, you're not blinded by fear.
Yes, definitely, most definitely. I mean, people have reported just, you know, communication from the dead. I mean, just lots of crazy things that happen. And it's usually, you know, within a few weeks after someone has passed, you know, within that time frame. Again, cold spots, electrical disturbances such as, you know, flickering lights, radios turning off and on, movement of physical objects such as doors, items missing or moved. I know people have reported water turning off and on, the chills, the goosebumps, the feeling that they're being watched, even touched, wind on the back of the neck, sounds, footsteps, music, voices, whispers, rapping, banging. You know, sometimes they're able to see balls of light called orbs moving around or shadows out of the corners of their eyes. Crazy stuff, levitating objects, fragrances, even reports of picking up a telephone and a message from that deceased loved one coming.
Now
from,
that is freaky.
Is that freaky or what?
That is freaky. And there was an old Alfred Hitchcock episode of that once, I believe. Someone received a phone call from the other side from her dead husband. And ever since I saw that, I was just, whoa.
I can't imagine. And, you know, whenever that's occurred and the phone companies are contacted, you know, where did that call come from? You know,
right.
Their response is, what call?
Right,
there's
yeah.
There's no record of it, and it's just a phenomenal thing. There's many people that report it, though, you know.
Well, I remember another time, just recently, in fact, it was about, I'd say 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I had the event happened about 4 years ago, but this person had died, 2 years, 3 years prior to that. And her name was Sandy, and she was kind of like my adopted mother. And we were very close. And when the day before she died, in fact, I went to visit her and to pay my respects and wish her well and all of that. And she looked at me and she said, David, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'll see you on the other side. And, you know, I just kind of broke down and started crying because, you know, what do you do? I mean, how do you help someone when they're in that kind of situation? But she had accepted it, and she was ready to go. And so I still feel this connection with her. There was a time a few years ago when I was very depressed, a lot of things were going on in my life. I wasn't focusing properly. I wasn't happy in the job I had. I wanted another job. I am a graphic designer, in case anybody doesn't know that. I have another occupation that I perform in the daytime, but I'm by trade, I'm a graphic designer and mechanical engineering technician. I had applied for a job with an advertising agency as an art director many times, and I got turned down. And you know, I decided I was going to go talk to Sandy. So I went to the graveyard. And, oh, by the way, the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery, and it wasn't a graveyard, it was a cemetery, but the difference between the two is a graveyard is attached to a church, and a cemetery is separate and stands alone.
Is that right?
That's right. So when I went to the cemetery to visit her, she had a headstone And, you know, it's just one of those, like, little plaques. And on top of the plaque, there's a spot where it has, you know, one of those brass vases that you can put flowers in it. And if you were to unscrew that vase, you could actually turn it upside down and you know, put it back inside the hole. There's actually a space in the headstone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had taken that apart, and I wrote a little note to her. And I folded it up, and I put it inside her headstone, and I put the vase back on top, and I thanked her, and I walked away. The next day, I got in that note, I said, you know, I'm really trying to get this job. You know, if there's any way that you could help me, if you can hear me, if you can read this, please respond. The next day, I got a call from that company, and I was hired.
Wow. Well, you know, I think people are not aware that we are surrounded by spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are so in tune with a physical world that we lose sight of the fact that we are spirit and that we all are within that one spirit. And thus, we are surrounded by spirits, and they are trying to make contact, guide us, watch over us, speak to us, just observe us. And I guess what I would say to the people out there in your audience tonight is if you want to experience the spirit realm, I would first tell you to look for the coincidences. I believe that there really isn't, let's call it coincidence, but I want to call it that for...
I call them synchronicities.
Synchronicity. I was going to say lack of a better term, but let's call it synchronicity. Look for the things that happen that kind of make it come together for you, like, wow, is so-and-so trying to communicate with me, or is a message being given to me? The first thing that anybody can be, or the best thing that anybody can be, is open and willing, and I believe speaking forth, asking to be shown,
mm-hmm.
Taking time to get quiet, listening to within. Oftentimes, when a message is brought from the other side, since we're starting out here on communication from the other side. It's as a knowing for a lot of people. It's not typically for most people an audible voice like in the ear, you know. Mm-hmm. So people are a lot of times getting quiet and they're thinking, I'm going to hear this whisper in my ear. And I've heard some audible voices. You probably have as well.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
But most of the time for me, it's a knowing within. And for me, it is also a presence. I can feel a presence of spirit. Upon those thoughts, and I can recognize them as coming from elsewhere. But look for those coincidences, listen within, ask to be shown, and, you know, if you're out there and you believe that you're experiencing a ghost within your house, I would say don't be panicked. That's not a bad thing, per se, unless there's some type of ill intent, some type of negative activity. Other than that, I mean, feel privileged if you believe that there is a ghostly presence around you, and realize that this could be a person who is bound, who is hurting, who is lost, who may just want to be recognized, and you know, just that they're alive. Most reports from psychics, et cetera, will tell you that ghosts, you know, a lot of them don't understand that they have died, that their physical body has died.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think to yourself, well, gosh, how could that be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because they're alive. And oftentimes they're just looking for recognition from someone else that they are, in fact, alive. Because they know they're alive, and now they want that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in most cases, will take care of helping or assisting a ghost. If you have a ghost hanging around, And I know we talked about the difference between a ghost and a spirit last time. A ghost is someone who is lost, who's in darkness, who is there's some type of trauma or misunderstanding, not necessarily evil or bad or anything like that, just a person without a body who needs some help. And so not panicking and seeking to be sensitive to understanding what is their condition, what's going on, how can I help, is it recognizing them? Certainly not, I would not be afraid to speak forth and, you know, recognize that person and speak to them if you feel it's a loved one maybe that's recently deceased, mm-hmm. speaking forth and acknowledging them and, you know, letting them know that they're loved and to turn toward the light, that there are loved ones there with them, that are with them right now, and that they can experience peace and joy and love and to move into that. Because that's really what we're dealing with. You know, I got to bring this up, Dave, because most people, you know, the term ghost hunter makes it sound like, you know, I think Elmer Fudd.
It's kind of a negative connotation, but I mean, what else do you call it? I know.
Elmer Fudd with a shotgun hunting rabbits. You know, we're a ghost hunter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
A ghost is someone that's in a not so good condition per se, just lost in the trapped in the mind. And you know, if we can communicate and help, we should. That really should be first. So.
Right. Now, speaking of old technologies versus new technologies, you know, technology meaning a process or a device used to communicate with the other side. You know, it goes all the way back. Oh, I remember an incident in the Bible, actually, the Witch of Endor. You know, when King Saul went to the Witch of Endor to contact the prophet Samuel. So that was a process that was involved. You know, as time goes, you know, even when you speak to your God, whoever that may be, since we're all spirit, it's the same thing. You're speaking to spirit. You're speaking to the other side. You're speaking to whatever is around you that can influence your surroundings from the other side. Because I believe that it happens in spirit first before it happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts become things. Your brain is kind of it's an interface between your spirit and your physical body. If you can focus on that, and you can realize that, then the concept of communicating with the other side isn't such a hard thing to conceive of. It's just a very interesting subject. You know, then there's things like the Ouija board. There's certain other types of spirit boards that are out there. Hold on one second. I think Ross has just called in. Let me see. Ross, is that you?
That is.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I was hoping you didn't forget. I tried calling you earlier.
No, I didn't forget. I just figured you probably wanted some time so you guys could talk, and I'd just kind of come in and kind of catch up on the Slack and what you guys got going on here.
Well, excellent. I'm glad you showed up. We're about to talk about some more technology regarding spirit communication.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're going to talk about is actually your PK board, for one, and some little peripheral devices that were designed to go around that, such as my little electromagnetic thing. And then also we have a device that we're going to talk about called Spiritcom. Have you ever heard of that, Ross?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, that's an interesting subject. We're going to be talking about that actually in the next half hour. So why don't we go ahead and take a break now while we can, and then we're going to come back and discuss a little bit more about this. And also take some callers. We do have another caller online, and I appreciate them holding for us. And we'll be right back right after this, okay?
Where do you go when you want information about angels and ghosts? The world of the unexplained and paranormal are just a few things that you will learn about when you visit www.angelsghosts.com. view the world of ghosts and angels by examining the evidence for yourself. For your own personal angel study or ghost hunt, they have included links to the ghost webcams, ghost hunting tours, paranormal clubs, ghost hunters, and paranormal investigators. Enjoy your research of the spirit world and the afterlife, filled with literally thousands of photos, stories, videos, EVPs, and more. You know you can trust angels and ghosts with author L.C. Duplat. Whether you are looking for research material or are just curious about the spirit world, visit www.angelsghosts.com. Don't forget to visit the forum at www.angelsghostsforum.com and meet many other paranormal investigators. Conduct your own research and experiments, or just have fun talking with others who do. www.angelsghostsforum.com, the forum for all paranormal people. Angels and ghosts, there is more than just a graveyard awaiting for us when we die.
Again, and we're talking with L.C. Duplat of Angels and Ghosts and Ross Allison of A-Ghost. And I'll give out those URLs again. Angels and Ghosts is www.angelsghosts.com, and Ross Allison's site, A-Ghost, is www.aghost.us. Okay, so we're talking about communication with the dead, old technologies versus new technologies. We've already been through a few things. Let's talk a little bit about Ouija boards. Can anybody speak to that?
Go ahead. I'll let you start.
Okay, go ahead, L.C.
Well, I give you my take on a Ouija board. You know, basically, for those out there who don't know what a Ouija board is, it's basically a board set up with numerals and the alphabet, and there's a little device called a planchet, which is a little piece that sits on the top of the board, and typically it's I have seen it used with one person, but normally there's two or more people put their fingertips lightly touching on the planchet, and the planchet moves across the board, guided by purportedly the spirit, and spelling out answers to questions with the alphabet and numbers, and the words yes and no. Did I do a good, pretty good description there for you?
I definitely think you did a
good job. So now this brings us to the next subject of the PK board. This is why Ross decided to go ahead and try to develop another type of communication device called a PK board. Ross, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those things that after witnessing a few people working with the Ouija board, you know, you had somebody holding the pointer, and it was supposedly supposed to spell out information that you were not aware of. But, of course, you know, in most cases, you know, it was a lot of times, you know, your friends trying to play tricks on you, trying to scare you, that type of stuff. And I'm not saying that Ouija boards don't work. I definitely think with the right trained person, you definitely can communicate with something. But I really wanted to steer away from somebody physically touching the pointer. And so that's where I came up with the idea of the PK board. Because the idea is, or one theory is, that spirits cause a lot of physical activity, and we believe they use is PK energy when they cause a lot of these physical disturbances in these homes and businesses. And so we thought, well, if that's the case, why can't we utilize this PK energy and develop a board that would allow the spirit to communicate to us by just having an arrow that moved on its own to, you know, similar phrases on a Ouija board, yes, no, you know, hello, goodbye, or even to letters to spell out information. So that was my biggest thing with the PK board is, again, I just wanted to steer clear of somebody physically touching the board.
And it actually works.
Yeah, definitely. I think
it,
you
know, firsthand. And then I had a theory that if spirits feed off of electromagnetic and electrostatic energy, there's, you know, we believe that they possibly use this energy to be able to manifest somehow, or to be able to extend themselves into the physical realm, I guess you could say, to try to communicate. So my idea on that was, well, if that's true, then why not provide a little power source for them that they can continuously feed off of? Because we all know that batteries will go dead during an investigation, lights will dim, TVs will flicker, things like that. So they're obviously feeding off of something. So why not provide a little bit of a power source? So what I did is I just created a little coil, basically, is all it is, with a bunch of nails pounding around on a board, you know, in a circle. And I wound copper cable. I left the insulation on them because I didn't want to cause too much draw on the battery when it came in contact with the metal nails. So I left the insulation on them, just wrapped them around approximately 19 times from bottom to top, onto the next one, bottom to top, all the way around until it completed the circuit. When you connect that to the battery, it actually creates a magnetic field, and it was a measurable field of about 1.5 feet high by about 2 to 2.5 feet in diameter. And I was able to measure that actually by using a compass, of all things. And we used that in conjunction with the PK board, but it appeared that the PK board worked regardless. And I'm wondering, just because of that one incident we had, is because this particular spirit was loved kids, so there was enough energy in that room with all those kids that maybe it could feed off of that as well. So I don't think that that I actually experimented enough with my coil. So I would like to get together with you sometime and try experimenting with that again.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's other things too that we, you know, we wanted to try, maybe even using an ion generator.
Right.
You know, that might help increase some of the activity too.
These are, I gotta say this, Ross. I love your PK board. For those out there who don't know what PK is, psychokinetic or psychic kinetic? Is that
psychokinesis?
Psychokinesis. Yep. Okay. But I love the idea of that board. I think it's a fantastic idea. And for those out there that are trying to envision this, it looks kind of like a clock almost, with the alphabet and numerals around it, and then the little pointer just kind of floats on sort of like a nail. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And I just thought that was a phenomenal idea. And to add to Mr. Bailey's ingenuity, the human body is a very small DC current.
Right.
As well, and using a DC current for, you know, to generate that energy, I think is also a nice idea. Ion generators, Ross, you mentioned that. I have to ask you about that. Are you thinking a negative or positive ion generator?
Definitely positive. We've been basically kind of utilizing the idea that a lot of times in these, you know, when people experience, you know, phenomena, they talk about, you know, having the hairs on their arms and the back of the neck stand up. So we definitely believe that there's a play on ions.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely thought, well, maybe, you know, feeding the area might increase some of the activity too.
That's a pretty interesting concept.
That's very good. There was a little bit of work done out of Texas. I can't think of the paranormal group, but they did a little bit of testing. If you perhaps Google ion generator and ghosts, I think it may come up. And they actually had some video, and there were some light anomalies that they captured. Now, whether they were ghostly or not, I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But they did capture some light anomalies while using a positive ion generator, and that's not something that you can just go out there and buy. I believe a negative ion generator is pretty much an air purifier or an ionizer.
Right.
But you can buy the, I guess, the electronic part of that online for a positive ion generator and build it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found a few of them out there. Now, of course, you know, this is all trial and error when you get involved in all this stuff, so you don't know a lot of times. Maybe you may be, you know, producing your own phenomena, you know, doing a lot of this stuff. So I definitely think, you know, it'd be nice if a lot of groups were out there doing a lot more of these experiments.
Absolutely, and I think that's was kind of my goal tonight, was just to try to maybe give some ideas, some direction, some areas maybe that people could experiment with.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we've been trying to do is take equipment, whether it be a camera, a video camera, or a, you know, voice recorder, and we're trying to make it apply, you know, into capturing, you know, ghostly phenomena. And I think we're getting pieces and parts of it, obviously, but maybe there's some things we can do to maybe get some, you know, even more compelling results.
Right.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and go to the phones and take a call. Area code 325, go ahead, you're on the air. What's your name?
Andrew, I called the last time.
Okay, hello.
I have a question, maybe anybody can answer this one.
Go ahead.
I called last time to say I believe I'm a sensitive person, remember?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I used to walk out into cemeteries when one time in high school and a couple times. I'm up visiting my aunt and uncle during, you know, Alaska in the summer. And I remember one time, I don't know if it's just because I don't like walking around on graves, you know, not to be disrespectful, you know. But I just thought I felt like something was saying to me, thank you for not walking on the grave, or maybe it was just my over imagination. But occasionally, I do feel that something, you know, is try to get my attention in my room sometimes. Occasionally I ask, what do you want, or go away, then it normally goes away, then it comes back. When I tell it to go away, I get a touch, like a slight cold touch, and it doesn't freak me out or anything, but I try to ask or look for a normal source, but I can't, you know, find it. Then if I think it's something that's physical there, I do ask, what do you want? Then I feel like there's a confused emotion come over me. Then I tell it to go away.
Well, I can kind of speak to that. I really don't think that spirits have a problem with you walking on a grave, personally. They have people mowing the lawns over the graves. There are some times when I'll be walking through a cemetery, and I'll walk up, like attempt to walk across somebody's grave, and I'll just get this sense like, don't do that. So I won't. But, I mean, I don't know, personally, I don't think they really care. I mean, does anybody else have any input on that?
I'd agree with you. I definitely, you know, if I'm in a situation where maybe I feel a little uncomfortable, I always, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I'm very respectful and say, you know, pardon me, excuse me for, you know,
right.
for coming through here, just as I would if I was going through a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just follow what's within. I think you're both, I think all three of you are actually stating that, you know, I think you're going to get some type of feeling or perception. And if there were something there, a ghostly presence, a ghost that, you know, that person doesn't like you, you know, coming into their area, their domain, I think you're going to sense that if you're open, if you're, you know, trying to listen.
Because, I didn't say thank you out loud, but I said thank you, like, in my mind, like, I guess, communicating or something.
Sure.
I don't use my sensitivity as detecting for, you know, spirits or, you know, I'd use it, like, towards people. Like, if I pick up a vibe from a person, that's how I use it. But now, since it's kind of getting, I guess, more intense almost, I'm looking in those type of areas to see if it's over imagination or it's actually something that's going on.
Well, it's probably not imagination. If you're picking something up when you're walking around, if you're walking across somebody's grave and you sense the word stop, I mean, that's not coming from you. That's obviously coming from somebody else.
What about, like, feeling things like something to try to get my attention in my room, then I tell it to go away, then all of a sudden it comes back, then I feel like I'm being touched?
Well, we find in a lot of cases, a lot of times when people experience that or a spirit returning for some reason, it's because it wants to communicate something. So
yep.
I would always suggest to anybody in that situation is try to make that contact. Try for EVP. See if it just has a message it wants to pass on to you.
Electronic voice phenomenon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think just to add, I agree wholeheartedly with Ross's comment as well. I forget what I was going to say now. Now that I said all that. Experiment with these feelings. That's what I wanted to try to tell you. You're asking, you know, is this a ghost that I'm sensing? Is it not? I think, you know, am I hearing this? Am I not? I think you have to experiment, and that's how you grow spiritually, is listening within and following those intuitions, and, you know, it'll prove itself out. If you're hearing, it'll show you.
Because normally I ask where, like, even with people when I'm around a lot of people, if I sense if I'm picking up something, I normally say, where is this coming from? I'm not saying it out loud, but I'm thinking that in my mind. Normally my body directs me like an antenna and normally stops somewhere.
Personally, I wouldn't really wonder where it's coming from. I would just say, yes, hello, do you have something to say? And just wait.
Would it be more like I guess, telepathic thoughts or?
Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, sure, they come in, they come to you in telepathic, but I'll tell you something about telepathy. A couple shows ago, before the show, I was with a friend of mine, and we were playing some pool. And she had made a shot, and it wasn't such a great shot, and I attempted to make my shot. But as I was doing that, I specifically heard her say, "What should I do now?" And it was loud and clear.
Okay.
I looked at her and I said, "Well, you should probably, you know, go for this one over here." And she says, "What are you talking about?"
Now, when I said,
I said, "Didn't you just say what should I do?" And she says, "No." She goes, "I thought it," and I just went, "Wait a minute, is she pulling my leg or am I whacked?"
now, sometimes I do hear low pitched voices that say my name. I turn around and look, and nothing's there. I ask people if they heard that, and they go, "No."
Yeah, I get more feelings than I do, like, telepathy or anything like that. I don't know about anybody else, but that's just kind of how I work it. I'm kind of an empath, so.
Yeah, for me, it's thoughts. And I think if you're looking at somebody that's disembodied, I think, how are they going to communicate? It's thoughts, you know, primarily. I think sometimes they're able to bring forth that thought so loudly that it's, I don't know if the word resonate is correct, but we'll say resonating at a higher frequency that's, you know, similar to, you know, audible, and it may appear to be audible, but I do think it comes from the thought process. So, very good.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're getting a little bit close to the end of our show here. So what I'm going to do is let's go ahead and start talking about Spiricom. From 1979 to 1982, George Meek and Bill O'Neill developed a device they dubbed the Spiricom, short for Spirit Communication. The Spiricom was a set of 13 tone generators spanning the frequency range of the adult male voice. The partnership developed as George Meek was a self-made man who had become a budding spiritual explorer, and Bill O'Neill had quite capable psychic abilities. In fact, O'Neill claimed to have worked with spirits while developing the Spiricom with his pal Meek. Recordings of the Spiricom in action still exist today. In fact, if you go to my host page and go look over to the right and scroll all the way down to the bottom under links, you'll see a link that says Spiricom, and that will take you to a page that LCS created on the Angels and Ghosts website that we'll discuss a little bit more about it. It also has the actual alleged communication on there. So what I wanted to do real quick is just play a little excerpt from that. This is actually a 44-minute clip, but we're certainly not going to listen to it that long. I just wanted to give people in the audience a little idea of what this sounded like. Okay? So here we go. Okay, so there you have it. That's pretty much what the Spiricom sounded like. It's a little bit hard to understand. It obviously needs some perfecting. There are actually plans out there on the Internet that show you how to build one yourself. I sure would like to try.
Well, you can check that out. I think it's at worlditc.org, if I'm correct on that. And just to try to explain what you're hearing there, these men purportedly used a number of frequency generators. That's why you have the buzz there. So they were trying to cover the frequency range of the male voice, mm-hmm. and I don't think they had perfected the filtering out of some of the buzz. I think that could have been done, but the idea was to take the different frequency waves that were generated, and I think what they were doing best. That I can understand, and through my good buddy Walter Bissell, is that they were using that as a carrier signal of any willing disembodied human voice, you know, anybody on the other side who wanted to speak. And what you heard there, there was a little bit of intelligible words there, one spot. You had one of the gentlemen that was experimenting, I think it was Bill O'Neill, speaking into the Spiricom, and then, or it might have been George Meek, but there was a reply from a former NASA scientist, Dr. Mueller, and I think they have hours. I mean, we're talking like 20 hours of recordings, and what's really interesting is this Dr. Mueller, who deceased, came through and helped them work on the Spiricom. In terms of perfecting the electronics for it. So that's kind of the story in a nutshell.
Well, I think it's very fascinating. In fact, there was something similar to that that was brought to my attention during our National Ghost Hunters Getaway, where a gentleman developed a device that basically took the radio feed on an AM station, and as if like, you were turning the dial constantly, and they would pick up EVPs through this. And so
was there any specific frequency that they were focusing on, or
no? It's just through the whole AM channels. So
all the way down the band.
So if you were
going
to take the dial and just go back and forth, up and down, they were picking up EVPs as they were recording at the same time.
Well, that's kind of strange. How that's kind of my theme song, the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it is.
So it seems like it's still all focusing on the whole white noise theory. That,
right.
Know, they definitely need that white noise to produce a lot of these EVPs.
Well,
I wonder why that is.
Well, let me give you something in on this. I'm not so sure that is necessarily what's going on there. I'm wondering if what they were trying to do was pick up voices that were generated. I mean, let's take this back to the base root here, and that is that if a spirit is going to communicate, I believe it's going to be through thought waves. If we look at brain waves, they're very low frequency. Let's say 0 to, 50 hertz. You know,
if that,
depending on what you're looking at. But if they're generated so low, that's below, you know, what the human can hear, you know. And let's say that the spirit's communicating through thought, through brainwaves, you know, not brainwaves, but thought waves. Could they be generated down that low? And then, you know, we're trying to, you know, hear them inaudible. If we're going to hear them in, we would only be able to pick up the harmonic when that wave has gone out and I don't know what you would call it, duplicated, triplicate, you know, tripled. We would only be picking up like, it's like if you went to a cave and you spoke a word out there, let's say hello, and you heard the second or third hello echo. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I guess what I'm thinking in all this, guys, is maybe that's what the SpiritCom they were doing was trying to use this as a carrier signal to maybe bring that harmonic through and get some type of communication. And if you kind of correlate that with the EVP, you know, most EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, you're only getting fragments. You may get a sentence, but most of them are a couple words here and there, and sometimes it's not real intelligible. And I'm wondering if we're not maybe picking up the harmonic, and if this voice of the spirit is actually generated at a much lower frequency below what the human ear can hear. What do you guys think about that idea?
Well, are you talking about subsonic?
Infrasonic, sure.
Okay, so, well, I'll tell you right now, a lion communicates with subsonic.
Mm-hmm. Well, elephants, too.
Vibrations. Yeah, elephants as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Elephant Listening Project, if you Google that, it's a very good website to check out. I think it's through Cornell University. I know we're running out of time here, so I'll make it quick. But basically, you can purchase an infrasonic microphone, a preamp, a recording device, and probably can get the software program to process it for free. And, you know, you're looking at an cash outlay of probably $1,500 to $2,000 for the equipment. But you can record, just like they have done with the Elephant Listening Project, into the lower frequencies, then speed the recording up approximately 3 times. And if paranormal investigators were to do this, my question is, would they pick up a ghostly voice? Would they be able to pick up something closer to communication, sentences instead of fragments, paragraphs instead of fragments, and would we be closer to hearing these spirits? What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's possible. Again, you know, like I said, it's all trial and error. You know, we definitely have to hopefully have the funds to, you know, get a lot of this equipment, which unfortunately is not cheap for a lot of us.
Yes.
But I definitely think, you know, we should be checking every little avenue that comes up. I think it's all possible.
L.C. DePlatt with Angels and Ghosts and Ross Allison with A-Ghost, I thank you gentlemen for being with me tonight. I wish you a happy and safe weekend.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Where do you go when you want information about angels and ghosts? The world of the unexplained and paranormal are just a few things that you will learn about when you visit www.angelsghosts.com. View the world of ghosts and angels by examining the evidence for yourself. For your own personal angel study or ghost hunt, they have included links to the ghost webcams, ghost hunting tours, paranormal clubs, ghost hunters, and paranormal investigators. Enjoy your research of the spirit world and the afterlife, filled with literally thousands of photos, stories, videos, EVPs, and more. You know you can trust Angels and Ghosts with author L.C. DePlatt. Whether you are looking for research material or are just curious about the spirit world, visit www.angelsghosts.com. Don't forget to visit the forum at www.angelsghostsforum.com and meet many other paranormal investigators. Conduct your own research and experiments, or just have fun talking with others who do. www.angelsghostsforum.com, the forum for all paranormal people. Angels and Ghosts, There is more than just a graveyard awaiting for us when we die.
You have been listening to the Paranormal News Network. This segment was written and produced by D. Eldon Bailey. Copyright 2007, D. Eldon Bailey and PNN. The views and opinions expressed on this show does not necessarily reflect those of our sponsors, producers, or Blog Talk Radio.